Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 29. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with guest Brian Wolters of the Overflow Project. First, I share my recent blog, Why Are Danes So Happy? Rita and I are proud to be Danish Americans. Both of us come from Danish stock, so we pay tribute to the motherland by visiting Copenhagen with daughter Alicia for a week this spring. When you visit the blog, you'll see the photo of we three sharing an ice cream with Ron Rentner, a schoolmate of mine at Concordia College, Oakland, California, in the 60s. Ron has served as pastor of the International Church of Copenhagen. The Danes are considered to be the happiest people on earth. Outwardly, they don't appear especially happy. That's because their happiness is not a shallow veneer. Theirs is an inner contentedness. And why? Largely because Denmark is a socialist democracy. They have little of the gross economic inequality that America has. They willingly pay higher taxes, and it really works. Copenhagen is on track to be the first carbon-neutral capital by 2020. Prices seem higher there than in the U.S. They pay a 25% VAT, or value-added tax, on everything. Ouch, you may think. The VAT is already in the price, not added to it, as our sales tax is. We in the U.S. also pay additional fees that they don't pay. An obvious example is tipping. Here we pay 15 to 20% for service. Tipping is not expected in Denmark because servers are paid a living wage. I recommend my interview with John DeGraff, co-author and producer of the Affluenza videos and books. He is co-founder of the Happiness Initiative. Though he focuses on Bhutan, his insights are relevant to Denmark as well. Read my blog posts on the Geography of Bliss and Global Happiness Initiative. See the links in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Well, why be concerned about happiness? One big reason would be that we Americans need to redefine happiness away from consumerism toward contentedness. Why? Human civilization will go through immense trauma, some say extinction, by 2100. Let's prepare ourselves, our children, and grandchildren for the change now. Yes, we can mitigate some of the worst effects through simple green living, but we cannot reverse the inevitable through geoengineering or magical wishful thinking. Please see my blog post, Vision of the Future. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It is not a list of rules, nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anyone's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. And I've discussed those standards in an earlier episode. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We continue the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. I'm glad you're with me today. I greet you from Sioux City, Iowa. The Overflow Project is a non-profit organization changing the world through simple living and generous giving. We bring communities together for collective change to help end poverty by supporting clean water projects in developing countries. In case this sounds familiar, I featured the Overflow Project in a blog and mentioned its 50-day challenge numerous times. I'm speaking to Brian Wolters, whose nickname is Wolt. And he has a very special water project. Tell us about that, won't you, Walt?
Absolutely. I am I'm executive director of a nonprofit based in Seattle called the Overflow Project, and we have a primary program right now, which is a 50-day challenge, where we encourage people to simplify over the course of 50 days to be able to give. And it's a great concept, simplify to be able to give. And then at the end of this 50-day challenge, we allocate all the funds directly to fund clean water projects through our partnerships on the ground in developing countries.
Now, is this through congregations or primarily individuals or both?
That's interesting. This program and challenge was birthed out of a church, and we've rolled out, and we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we are focusing on individuals. Individuals can participate, but this year we're really going to be focusing and changing our, but kind of morphing our emphasis and really encouraging groups to participate this year. So groups, meaning small groups, but also organizations and churches. Like the entire church can come on board with this program.
Now, if I read correctly in your recent report, the money is going to a specific village or a specific region. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So every year we've been working with different organizations in different villages and different where there's different needs. And this past year, we, as you were reading about, we were focusing on the village of Elimigli, which is in a rural area in Kenya, through a partnership with an organization called a Christian organization called World Concern. They're based here in the Seattle area. So our emphasis was on clean water, but just a full clean water. Sustainable kind of initiative where there's rainwater catchment systems and there's water and sanitation training and emphasis and like a true kind of empowerment of the community. So anyway, so that was the emphasis this past year. We haven't officially decided what the funds will be going to this coming year, but we're open to building new partnerships. And this year, we're excited. This coming year, we're excited about the new partnership that we'll be able to share with the listeners that are hearing this. And there's, you know, to be able to get updates, people can reach out to me or visit our website. So
now. This 50-day challenge just happens to fall during the 50 days of Easter, between Easter and Pentecost. I mean, we think more, oh, we need to sacrifice during Lent, you know, during those 6 weeks. But I get the feeling that you don't want people thinking about sacrifice. You want people thinking about celebrating.
That's absolutely correct. What typically happens in churches that I know, churches growing up, it's there's a lot of celebration on one day, which is Easter Sunday. It's one of the most important and significant, you know, Christian holidays, along there, I guess, with Christmas. But it's a one day ordeal. People come, and there's all this programming around one day. But Jesus doesn't just appear after one day. He resurrected on the cross, and then demonstrated on this earth how to live a life, a one that's worthy to follow. And he lives on this earth for nearly 50 days, 7 weeks until Pentecost. So that thus this true Easter season is not just a one day ordeal. It's for 50 days.
I have to tell you, Walt, that this project just perfectly exemplifies the mission of Alternative Simple for Simple Living, which is now being extended through Simple Living Works. That is, let's simplify our lives, let's walk our talk as Christians, let's be more generous, that's the give part, to give generously. And Do you have ideas? Do you urge people to simplify in specific ways, or do you leave that up to each individual?
Like I said, our emphasis is definitely in, along with individuals, we want to encourage groups to participate. So we've developed some resources for groups. We have ideas, we have resources available, but we leave it up to individuals to come up with something, to identify something personal for themselves. So it's not just one, we don't emphasize just one thing. We want this to be something that individuals and groups really think about, and they pray about, and they discern, like, this is an area that I've identified that I could maybe learn a little bit more, and it could push me in a transformational sort of way, not a kind of a legalistic way, but more of a transformative way. And so we don't want to just give tell people what to do. We leave it up to them to be empowered to make their own personal decision.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, you're an expert, and you've been doing this for so many years. You've been, and it's a pleasure to meet you here. We've gathered some resources, like I've mentioned. We put this together, a program that we're really excited about, and I guess I'd just like to encourage the people that are tuning in to come visit our resources and website and learn about what we're up to, and love to get people doing this together. And what better way? It might seem really simple for people to simplify for 50 days and even come up with $1 a day. So one person doing it's only $50, but when you have all of a sudden 1,000 people participating, it's 50,000 people, or excuse me, $50,000, which can truly transform a village. And we're transforming our own lives by the way that we're living. So it's just a really, really powerful thing, and want to encourage people to participate.
You bet. Now, this past year, you raised about $10,000. And so give us a concrete example of what can be done with $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the transformation here personally, again, with people living their own lifestyle. So we've heard how people made lifestyle changes. But then this water, the money gets allocated directly to change lives for people that are living in pretty dire situations where there's a lack of basic human right and human necessity of clean water. And like I mentioned earlier, I don't want this to be a just we come in and give a solution of water, but it needs to be empowering, and it needs to be a sustainable solution. So we would love for people to, and we know that through these funds that are being allocated, that we hear stories, and we share those stories to people that are part of this as well, of the transformation that happens in their lives as well. So,
and that website is
overflowproject.org.
Once again,
overflowproject.org.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Walt. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You've been listening to my conversation with Brian Walters, known as Walt, head of the Overflow Project. Since the 8 episodes in May through August were the extended dialogue between Tony Campolo and Shane Claiborne called Tony and Shane Uncut, we've accumulated a lot of feedback to share. Oh, by the way, Tony and Shane discussed simpler living and global justice, and that's available on the Simple Living site. And the reissue of their DVD, Simply Enough, now called Choose Justice from World Vision Canada, is available from Shane's organization, The Simple Way. See the show notes for ordering information. All the blogs referenced here are still available. Visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 2, or click the social media button in the top menu. Well, Marilyn Lyons of the Office of Family Ministry at Christ the Redeemer in Lake Orion, Michigan said, "Awesome! Awesome! Really like the new social media approach to your powerful message, Fruitful Blessings." Thanks, Marilyn. In regard to my blog, Thank the Rich, that's a tongue-in-cheek title, by the way, John Florey said, "Interesting point of view, Jerry. I'm used to the crazy Christian community, so it's a pleasure to hear from a sane God lover." In regard to the same blog, Thank the Rich, Charlie Kyle of Chicago said, We all, that is the 100%, share Mother Earth, breathe the same smog-filled air, eat radioactive fish from the Japanese coast, and eat the same vegetables and fruits sprayed with poisons left over from stockpiles of chemical warfare suppliers. We are all in the same boat, contaminated by corporate obligations to get the maximum ROI dollars, that's return on investment, for investors. Then he quotes 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves and the rest of us with many sorrows." That from Charlie Kyle in Chicago. In regard to my blog, social media post number 9 about internet radio, Carol Trumbo said, "Could be a lot simpler without the internet. We could just read the Bible." And then Charles Sawyer responded to Carol's comment by saying, "If they would read the Bible for their own edification, problem is they don't. They read it with a purpose to get superior, to feel superior to everyone else, picking and choosing what they want out of it to follow, and then missing the whole point of what Jesus taught." Thank you for those comments, Carol and Charles. In regard to my blog, Let's Learn from Ramadan, which is an Islamic festival, Charlie Kyle said, "Thank you, Gerald, for fostering an understanding among believers. We all have so much in common. I was taught, when you fast, do not look sober as the hypocrites do. Put oil in your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." That's a quote from Matthew 6:16. Also, in regard to Let's Learn from Ramadan, Mary Lou Fritch Wheeler said, "Encourage the good." And David E. Cox, Ph.D., said, "Your passages and journey of the spiritual life can cross over religious boundaries quite well. Thanks, Gerald." In regard to the Simple Living Works e-newsletter, number 33, Marlis Rogers said, "I'm with you, Jerry. My family still doesn't quite believe in dramatic climate change, but I do. My children are all age late 40s to almost 60. I worry about not only my children, but also my grandchildren and the 3 great-grandchildren I already have, and I'm encouraging them not to have any more. We do try to be green, but I agree that even that doesn't have an impact, and to think there are so many deniers still seems as though they have blinders on. Keep up the good work." Again, from Marlis Rogers. In regard to the blog, Why Are Danes So Happy?, which I read at the top of this program, Deb here from Northwest Earth Institute. Remember, we corresponded years ago about our course, Voluntary Simplicity. I especially enjoyed this blog email update, as I too come from Danish stock and used to live in Copenhagen while I was young. Incidentally, my father, Bob McNamara, served as the pastor at the International Church of Copenhagen in the 80s. Fun to notice the small world of connections we live in. I was able to visit Denmark again a few years ago with my family and was so struck by the quality of life there. Thanks for your good work, and I always enjoy the updates. Warmly, Deborah McNamara, Director of Organizational Partnerships for the Northwest Earth Institute. And again, in regard to my blog on Why Are the Danes So Happy?, Barb Reinhardt wrote curtly, "Unsubscribe, too political." And Rick Zimlin wrote, "Wow, hooray for the Danes. Thanks for this post. I'll be reposting it. I find this inspiring in the otherwise consistently sad news about human society, the environment, and the rich-poor divide." John Herman also commented on the same blog, "The one European city all my immediate family has been in, though not at the same time. I have observed something similar in the neighboring socialist state of Sweden. Nowhere did one see outlandish homes that put others to shame. There was an observed evenness in the culture and communities." And John DeGraff, producer of Affluenza, said, "Nice piece on Danish happiness by my friend Jerry Iverson." Ruth Knobenhelm said, "I like the fact that you point out it's about contentedness, not happiness. Happiness is experienced briefly. Contentedness is a state of the mind the majority of the time." Thank you, Ruth. And Kate Pendergrass Norland said, "I find the most interesting point you make is the need to shift from consumerism to contentedness. We will never find happiness in constantly striving for more goods and services." Moving on to a different topic, Alice Ann Glenn said, "Thank you. I appreciate your resources and have been an alternative celebration fan for decades and continue to try to simplify my life." In regards to the blog Easter in the Grand Canyon, Wendy Ligo wrote, "This moved me to tears. Beautiful." In regard to the blog A Personal View of the Ascension, Ellen Roberts Young wrote, "It's one of the things we learn, isn't it, that when it's time to let go, we have to really let go and let things fall as they may. I've sometimes found myself in the next position after yours, presiding over a decline. It's important to remember that what is best for each of us, to leave or not to leave, is also best for the group. That's how God's economy works, and the outcome is not in our control. A fascinating idea to compare this social process to the ascension." Thank you, Ellen. In regard to the blog social media post number 5 about e-newsletters, Charlie Kyle from Chicago said, "Thank you for your time, reflection, and sharing so eloquently in word and art your spiritual riches. Deo gratias for Gerald." In regard to Tony and Shane Uncut, Bob Seitz, the simple enough blogger for the Lutheran Magazine Online, said, "Jerry, my oh my, you are certainly offering a wealth of possibilities for all of us who want to keep working at simplicity. I am awed at the spread and variety of the resources you gather together and offer for the others. Keep at it." Thanks, Bob. And in regard to social media post number 10, which was called Marketing Plan Checklist, Pastor David Hallis of St. Mark Lutheran Church here in Sioux City wrote briefly, "Thanks, excellent." Louise wrote, "I have liked you on Facebook, so we can keep together. We can keep up there." Blessings, Louise. And Mimi Confer wrote, "Thanks for all your work and the great difference you are making." Ann Patella of Hiram, Ohio wrote, "I greatly appreciate being on your mailing list. I'm always striving for simple things, and your pep talks really help. Many thanks." In regard to my blog, Thank the Rich, Ellen Roberts Young said, "Well said. Nice to think that those who learn voluntary simplicity might be teachers and leaders when things get bad." Well, you're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to feedback@simplelivingworks.org or simplelivingworks@yahoo.com or on our Facebook page or our Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Time to wrap up episode 29 of Simple Living Works. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. We'd love to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the blogs we post new each week. Subscriptions are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. You can also subscribe to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, at iTunes. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-newsletter. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. Find details in the show notes. Click About. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Come everyone who has thirst, those who have nothing come by. Why spend your labor for things that simply do not satisfy? Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. The bread in your cupboard belongs to one who is hungry out there, and the coats in your closet unused could warm up the ones who stand bare. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. See how the wealth you acquire is borne on the backs of the poor, whose children beg daily for food, whose land feeds your child who wants more. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Your children who need their own rooms lament that the forest will die, and those who would join field to field must stop long enough to ask why. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. God chose the weak of the world to shame the way of the strong. Learn how to live from the poor. Their wisdom will help us belong. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Do not conform to the world. Be certain that better's not more. Contentment will transform your need, awakening what God has in store. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.